to Oh, I Like That, a podcast about things we like and occasionally things we don't. I'm Rachel Wilkerson Miller.
And I'm Sally Tamarkin. And let's get started with a vibe check, Rachel.
Great.
Do you mind if I kick it off? Because I'm pretty excited.
I would love if you did that. Go for it.
Okay. So the vibe here is snow day because, for once, we're not recording like the Friday before we release an episode. We're recording like the day before we release an episode. Mm-hmm. And here in Philadelphia, we're going to get a big old amount of snow, allegedly. I don't really believe it till I see it due to meteorology being more of an art than a science.
Mm-hmm.
That seems like not an accurate statement, but I'm going to stand by it.
As we've established, we both love and respect nature, but there is, like, you're looking up at the sky and predicting things. Like, I see why you said that.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I'll believe it when I see it. However, one of the best parts about an impending snowstorm, if you're someone like me who loves a snowstorm, mm-hmm. is the anticipation of it. Like you're just waiting, you know, you're going to wait, see those couple flakes start falling and you get excited about all, like getting all cozy and stuff like that. So we're supposed to get, they were saying like initially, like just an apocalyptic amount of snow. And I feel mm-hmm. like the general vibe was like frantic and stock up on, you know, all kinds of canned goods.
Mm-hmm.
But over the last couple of days, it's sort of chilled out a little bit. And now it just seems like it's going to be kind of a goodly, healthy snowfall of like nice. 6-ish inches, which I feel is ideal because it's an amount that feels sufficiently wintry, but it's not so much that it actually does feel like a natural disaster.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
And also, I just, you know, even though I'm no longer attending any sort of school or in a situation where I wouldn't have to do work if it snowed, mm-hmm. I still do associate big snowfalls with snow days. Mm-hmm. And that's just the best feeling in the entire world.
I
so
agree.
The vibe is snow day. I'm really excited about it. It's supposed to start like around 1 o'clock this afternoon. So I'm psyched.
That's great. Yeah. We are also supposed to get snow. They're predicting like possibly blizzard-like conditions, but also saying like it could definitely not be that. And I've definitely been burned before by expecting a big snow and then like nothing happened. So I think it's supposed to start a little later here, maybe around 3, but I am like eagerly waiting to see if we're going to get snow. If so, how much? I'm very excited as well.
Hell yeah. I'm going to throw this vibe check over to you in a second, but I just want to say I was like tooling around on one of the many weather apps that I have on my phone.
Right.
And there was like a tutorial about how to record the snowfall like accurately so that you can then submit it to like various weather services.
Oh, interesting.
So I feel like as I sort of grow into my innate dadness, mm-hmm. I can see myself getting involved with like a ruler in the snow and some measurements and stuff like that. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think it's going to happen this year, but I see that happening starting in 2021.
I love that for you. Your own personal almanac. I think that could be a really good hobby.
Right? Uh-huh. New brand mm-hmm. coming up.
Yep.
So Rachel, what's the vibe? Tell me what's up with you?
The vibe here is great. I am coming off a very successfully thrown at-home birthday party for two, which I wanted to share because we talked about this a couple weeks ago about the planning for this event, and I put some of your tips into action. So this is my girlfriend's birthday yesterday. She has a very unfortunate birth date of December 15th, which is like, it's a really, really rough day for a birthday, a rough month. We talked about this a little bit, Sally. I know that you also are in a similar position with mm-hmm. your partner.
Yep. Andrea's birthday is December 22nd. So like precisely 7 days later, terrible time to have a birthday, like really rough time to expect people to like be around to celebrate with you or to like think through gifts or parties or anything like that. And I just want to say, like, I feel so much solidarity with you mm-hmm. because now you're in this boat and like we've already been like exchanging tips and tricks and it's been great for me. So yeah, it's like, it's very hard to know like how to, like when you have a partner, like I have, who's like a birthday person, like mm-hmm. they want their birthday to feel really special. And I'm that way too. So like, I don't say that in any kind of a shady way. You want their birthday to feel special, but you're also, you're kind of, you have this built-in obstacle, which is that like they've had decades of their birthday not feeling special enough.
Right.
Always coincides with Christmas. And so I already feel like I have to kind of go above and beyond. And I also, she also really loves Christmas. And so I want Christmas to be really special. And so I start to panic in like September of every single year. And just, I never know if I'm getting enough stuff or if I'm making it special enough. It's not necessarily about like, am I getting enough? It's like, is this going to be a special enough experience? And occasionally, like, I'll get to like mid-November and be like, I'm just going to get for $5,000 in cash. And like, just let that be the thing.
Put it in an envelope, slide it across the table, be done with it. Like,
Here's a fat stack of bills. You have yourself a lovely birthday and Christmas.
Yeah, I was feeling that very much this year. And it just, it falls at a weird time where like, people aren't around. They've sort of, they're partied out. It also comes up so quickly. I feel like it goes from December like 2nd when you're like, wow, I have the whole month ahead of me to December 15th. And then you're like, wow, it's basically New Year's now. And like the whole month just, it goes so fast toward the end. But I'm really proud of what I pulled off. So I think I mentioned that the theme is going to be Space Cowboy, which is a great theme, but was not a great theme for a birthday party. Like it's just too big. It's like you can't easily get things for like both things online. Like it just, it, I got really overwhelmed and really stressed out. So I scrapped the theme and instead went with a music festival-ish. I say ish because like I've never been to a music festival. I would never go to a music festival. So like the theme was music, but like the narrative of the day was a music festival that like was, it was sort of silly, but I took your advice and used Canva to make a bunch of little printables. So I made like a badge for the festival that had like a little QR code on the back that was like, didn't work, that was fake. I named it, like the name of the festival had her name in it. I came up with a bunch of fake bands that were like inside jokes between us that would make her laugh and like put those on as like the headliners. And then that gave me the idea of like, oh, I should make like little parody albums of the, like with these inside jokes. So I made like our band and like a greatest hits album of like the things that we say a lot. And the new Taylor Swift album came out last week. And so I like did a parody of that with like, again, just kind of like jokes we make, also kind of a parody of Taylor Swift albums as well. So I printed those out in the days leading up to it as kind of like teasers. So that made it very fun.
Oh, that's so cute. It heart is like expanding five times in size.
It was great. It was so fun for me. Like I would love to just like song parodies and that is just like so fun and funny to me. So I did that and then got decorations. Again, just typed like rock star birthday cool teen. And some of what came up and just like went for it. So that was really great. And the reason this I went with this is because I had gotten her a record player and then a karaoke machine. Cause again, I was in that like, is this going to be special enough? I'm panicking. So that was like tied it all together. And then I got her a bunch of records to go with the record player. So like all her favorite albums. So that was part of it. But the thing that I'm really proud of is the playlist, which I was trying to figure out how can we make this feel like a communal thing when you're, when you can't see people. So I had the idea, it's actually inspired by an article I edited that Bear Bergman wrote about, it was like a gift ideas list. And he had suggested like a group gift where everyone like makes a little video for the person who you're giving it to. And then you end it with a cameo, which I thought was like a genius idea. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm not going to make our friends like sing or do anything like that. So like, how can they contribute to this musical thing? And I was like, oh, a playlist. Like she loves making playlists. She loves music. So I emailed everyone and just said, this is what I'm doing. Can you send me a song or two? And then like a little blurb about why you picked it. It can be like a song that reminds you of her or a song that you know that she likes or a song that you think she would like, you know, kind of just whatever. And like everyone totally understood it, sent me great suggestions. So then the way that I did it was, well, first I gave her like a ticket for the album drop party. So that was the like way I worked that into the day. And then I put the playlist on and I had printed out all of the like the name of the song followed by who recommended it and like the little blurb that they wrote. So I put those all in a manila envelope. And so each time a new song came on, I like pulled it out a little further so she could see who had picked the song. So it like continued to be a surprise. And I'm really proud of that because it was like a really lo-fi way to do a pandemic gift, but that also would just be nice anytime for any reason. I think like a curated playlist is a great gift if it's done with thought and care. So yeah, I think those were the big hits. There were also the standard, you know, our outfit changes, food, other activities. We watched David Byrne's American Utopia on HBO Max because that's like a musical performance. So yeah, it was just a great day top to bottom. I'm really, really thrilled by it. And she loved it too, which is, I'm like talking about how much I loved it, but to be clear, she really loved it and it was really special.
It sounds absolutely inspired.
Thank
and
you.
Can you imagine what chumps we've all been these last many years, just going out to dinner and drinks?
Why
we waited for a pandemic to do all this really rad stuff for our loved ones' birthdays.
Yeah, it was so great. Highly recommend, you know, having a special day, transforming your space with little things and just like going all out. It really did like take us, it was really nice to create like a different world for a day. I think that's just like a really special thing, regardless of the occasion. So highly recommend it.
I love that. And I can't wait to report to you what I'm going to do for my partner's birthday, which I can't do because she will probably listen to this episode before her birthday, but right. I will report back. But I'm really excited because now I have like a ton more ideas and stuff like that. So
wonderful.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's actually a perfect segue to our first segment. Rachel, can you take it away?
Yeah, so we're going to do a group chat segment this week, which we haven't done in a little while. And it is inspired by some recent Am I the Asshole posts about gift giving specifically, which I think, you know, given the response to our last episode about gift giving, it's a topic that people care about a lot, want to talk about a lot. And, you know, we spent so much time focusing on good gifts and how to be good at gifts that we thought it might be fun to talk about when things go horribly awry and how it feels to get a bad gift. So we're going to go through a couple of the recent Am I the Assholes that we're still thinking about.
Awesome. This first one we're going to talk about, it's actually since been deleted and we debated including it, but I think we decided that was sort of like instructive enough that we should still include it. So we will include a link to it in the show notes, but it is, am I the asshole for telling my fiance that I don't want any more of his handmade Christmas gifts? My fiance and I have been together for over 2 years, and we celebrated both Christmases together. The first year, I bought him maybe $50 worth of presents, mostly stuff he'd hinted at wanting to buy. He gave me a fancy origami star with Merry Christmas written on it in Sharpie. We hadn't dated very long, so I didn't think twice about the whole thing, and honestly, the star was pretty cute. We hadn't actually discussed presents at all before that point, so it's not like I was expecting anything more. Last Christmas was a bit different. We did have the talk about presents, and he directed me to his Amazon wish list and told me to get him something off there. The problem was that everything on his wish list is hugely expensive, with the cheapest item being a few hundred dollars at least. I ended up getting him a Nintendo Switch, and he was really happy with that. In return, he presented me with what was basically a piece of laminated paper cut into the shape of a Christmas tree. While I tried to be tactful, a few weeks later, I did bring up that I felt a bit disappointed with his gift. My fiance seemed floored and reminded me how, quote, I love handmade gifts. That's true, and I've talked before about how I love getting a scarf from one of my friends every year, but there's a difference between a scarf and a piece of paper. I told him all this, and he promised he'd think about it. Now we're in 2020, and my fiance has been talking for months about how much he'd love a PS5 console for Christmas. I told him I'd try my best to find one, even though they're really hard to find at the moment. The next day, I gave him a list of some things I'd like for Christmas, all around $100. My fiancé thanked me but turned down the list, telling me he was going to hand make my present himself again. When I told him I'd much rather have something off my list, he told me he'd already started making my present, so it would have to wait until next year. Things have been really weird between us since then. I brought this up to my mother recently, and while she agreed that I had the right to be upset, I should appreciate my fiancé's handmade gifts because they're, quote, made from the heart. From my perspective, it feels a lot more like he just doesn't care. Although I haven't managed to order him a PS5 yet, this whole situation is making me not want to even try. Am I the asshole for telling him to stop it with the handmade presents? Rachel?
This is so egregious. I don't even know where to start. And I am mad that it's deleted. This is one of those where I just like desperately, desperately want an update because I am dying to know what happened. I hope that they broke up. Like the first of all, don't give him a PS5. Second of all, don't marry this person. They're engaged.
They're engaged. They're engaged.
He's engaged to this person.
Till death do them part.
That's just like, I'm so mad. This is the most like, this is such horseshit, like on every level. But the thing that's annoying me so much is this like, well, you said you like handmade gifts. Like, we all know what that means based on the fact that a laminated piece of paper is not a scarf. Like, we know that one of those is a lot harder to make than the others. There's also lots of handmade gifts that could be more thoughtful, even like a baked good or cookies or something like that. So this guy sucks so much. And like, setting aside the like, should I get him a PS5? Just like, why are you with somebody who is so like, is following the rules quote unquote, the rules of like, you said you like a handmade gifts in this, like to the letter, but not in the spirit at all. Like, why? This is so petty. And it's just like, why would you do that? It seems like more work to do this annoying thing than to just buy a single item that this person said that they want. Like, it feels like an intentional snub in a way that's like, do you even like this person? Like, why would you do that? What is wrong with you?
Yeah.
There's like no sympathetic read of this for this guy.
I agree with you. I hadn't actually gotten as far as thinking about following it to the letter, but not the spirit of the handmade gift thing. But you're totally right. That's like, it's weird. He's like, he's doing the like just asking questions kind of thing.
But totally. Like, which just partner. Like speaks to his character in a way that I'm like, why are you marrying this person?
Why are you marrying
this? This sucks. Yeah.
And this is definitely a common genre of Am I the Asshole posts, which is like, this one specific thing happened. Do you think I'm the asshole? And what it really is a symptom of like just an unbelievably bad problem in a relationship. Mm-hmm. You know, the fact that also he's asking for a PS5, I don't know if like people who aren't gamers are aware of this, but like it's really, really, really hard to find a PS5 right now. There's just like, there aren't enough of them available, and scalpers have like created bots that like basically automatically buy them from websites when they come into stock. It's like, it's already asking a huge, I want a PS5, mm-hmm. would never ask my partner to get me a PS5 because it's the amount of work she would have to do. She would have to just basically like subscribe to a bunch of like updates and then like spend a bunch of time on like Walmart and Best Buy, like refreshing the page to see if she could. Like, it's ridiculous. I think it's like a really intense thing to ask for, but also to ask for something like that and then give someone something so, like, if you're asking for like the handmade equivalent of a PS5 is like a life-size sculpture. Like, you better be painting like a ceiling-high portrait of your partner. If like that's the handmade gift that you can give someone, or like, you know, you're a jewelry maker. you've made a very nice piece of jewelry. Mm-hmm. So the asymmetricality there is just like kind of mind blowing. But like the other thing it was making me think a lot about, and actually the other Am I the Asshole that we'll talk about made me think about this too, is like, I just wonder, like, I think that like it highlights the thing that like you and I are interested about in gift giving, because like the way that we like give and receive gifts and think about giving and receiving gifts is like how we think about the ways we're in relationship to other people. Mm-hmm. And I feel like when I read this question and also some of the other ones on Am I the Asshole, I think like this is like a really good opportunity for you to talk with your partner about like the culture of gift giving and receiving in your relationship. Mm-hmm. Like when the person when they said like he directed me to his Amazon wish list, I was like, well, did you have a conversation about it? Like, did you sit down and like when he directed you there, are you cool with that? Are you cool shopping off each other's wish lists? Like, do you get to direct him somewhere? Mm-hmm. Like, why did he get to direct you, but now you're getting a handmade Christmas tree piece of paper? And I think that like I think it'd be sort of awkward. But I think that having those conversations like makes it so that you start to know that, like, you know, in your relationship, like, you know, for my Rihanna book disaster, like the culture of gift giving in my relationship is that like we swing for the fences, and if it doesn't come together, then it's okay. Like, you know what I mean? But it's like, there are some people I think where, you know, if they get a gift that they feel like is really not them, it's really upsetting. If someone returns a gift, the person who gave it to them will be upset. Like there are just all these like ins and outs. And I feel like it's really worth having these kinds of conversations with people you're exchanging gifts with, but particularly with your partner, to just like have an understanding of like what each person's like expectations and like needs are.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing that's so frustrating about this is like, it seems like she was kind of trying to do that, and he's just bullshitting her and saying like, well, you said you liked handmade gifts. And it's like, okay, she's trying to do this thing that is awkward, and she's trying to be a little bit more vulnerable and express her needs. And he's like totally blowing her off, which again, tells you that like he's probably not a great partner in other ways. Like I just cannot believe that somebody who's doing this is also really thoughtful and caring, because it is such a simple way to listen to a thing that a person is asking you to do. And it also doesn't sound like he's really volunteering any information about why he thinks about gift giving this way, specifically giving, clearly not receiving, but like if you were sitting down and saying, you know, I think that the holidays are too commercial, and so I think it's like really nice to do a handmade thing, or, you know, it's coming from a place of like sustainability or whatever, and like I would love for you to do the same thing for me, but if you're not crafty, like please just don't spend a lot of money. Like if he had a whole philosophy behind this, that would be different. But like, he's not offering anything except like, well, I just want a PS5 and I want to give you what I want to give you. So like, I don't really care what you want. And like, that is so disappointing. And again, I just don't know how you can be in a relationship with somebody who thinks so little of your needs and has no problem telling you that.
I totally agree. It's so hard to imagine that this guy is in other ways, like incredibly thoughtful and like considerate and think and like keeping her in mind in a way that like makes her feel like seen and all that shit.
Yeah. I don't think in this one she did much of the typical like, he's so great in XYZ ways. Like this is a one-off. She didn't even say that. So again, I'm like, why are you with this person? Why are you marrying this person? Like what are you doing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, to like highlight how great the Am I the Asshole community can be sometimes, every single person was like, you're not the asshole. This is fucking egregious. And then a bunch of people were like, give him like a paper cutout of like a PS5.
Yeah. I mean, at the very least, give him a handmade gift that is like, you know, equally, it involves equal effort as what he's been doing for you. Like you should, because her question was like more about like, am I the asshole for not giving him a PS5? And it's like, definitely not the asshole for that, but like also not the asshole for not giving him anything off his wish list and just giving him like a dozen cookies. Like that would also be fine. Mm-hmm. So the fact that that she's kind of wondering like, I don't know, maybe I shouldn't do this PS5 thing. It's like that's not even the thing.
Yeah,
like,
that's not the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, she should definitely conserve her like time, money, and energy for getting out of this relationship.
Yeah, I agree. It's so disappointing. I feel really sad at the end of the day about this one.
Yeah, this is a real bummer. Do you want to move on to this other one? Because I think it has like some interesting stuff going on in it. I think it's like a little bit more like nuanced.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so am I the asshole for returning all the presents I got and buying my own because I'm tired of receiving what I feel are thoughtless gifts from everyone? I try not to be spoiled, but my whole life, I haven't felt thought of in the gifts I receive. I never show it and always act thankful to be polite. The gifts I give others are always personalized if I haven't been asked for specific items. I listen and use their hobbies and interests to make sure they're a hit. One of my favorite things was the shot of euphoria when they opened their present and were speechless. Then it comes time for me to open gifts, and it's a generic set of headphones, much worse than the ones I own, in colors I hate. A face wash and candle set I can never use with sensitive skin and allergies. A mug with a weird meme on it that is no inside joke between us that won't fit in my cabinet with a matching set already inside. I'm tired of feeling like the coworker you don't know that you picked for office Secret Santa. I stopped hoping they finally listened or got me something from a list I specifically gave in case they couldn't be arsed to put thought and effort into it. I can't think of a gift I've received that wasn't donated or stuffed in a box in storage, yet every gift I've given others is still on display, used, talked about, or complimented when seen. Why don't I deserve that effort? My friends are so great in every other way. My dear husband loves me endlessly, and there's no other area I feel we're lacking. So why don't they try and get me something from my interests? Why am I unwrapping a clearance tea set when I'm a coffee drinker? We all sent out lists again weeks back, and my dear husband said he was already done with his shopping and excited to wrap my gifts. I was hopeful this time he got something from my list. While tidying, I found a stash with candy, a pair of cheap slippers in a pattern I never wear, a makeup travel bag with a tacky slogan, "Slay all day," on it. I despise quotes on anything, and it's well known, and a pair of gloves. I just felt deflated. I felt sunken in on myself. I realized I'd never get the joy of opening a gift and being blown away by its thoughtfulness. I cracked. I told everyone I wasn't doing gifts this year and to return anything they got me because I didn't have the money and I wanted to be fair. It's true. I don't have the money to waste over $1,000 on personalized gifts for everyone just to feel disappointment. I canceled all my orders, returned all the items I got, and bought things off my own list using those funds. I wrapped them and put them under the tree to me from me. Dear husband is hurt, friends are disappointed, family has told me how spoiled, entitled, and petulant I'm being. I think they're just mad they aren't going to get gifts from me this year that they boast about and post online and get tons of comments about how cool it is. This year I'm getting what I want, and going forward, this may even be my tradition forever, so I finally get things I like. But as Christmas gets closer, I'm starting to feel guilty and ashamed for what I've done. Am I the asshole? There's a couple points that they added a couple things to like clear up some confusion that people were having in the comments. So a couple of them are relevant, so I'll just read them really quick too. All I said to my family was that I wouldn't be participating in gift exchange this year due to my budget. I didn't mention that it's because I don't like their gifts. My own parents are the ones assuming that is why, because they have the largest track record for being the worst at gifts for me and have been called out on it. No one knows about the gifts I got myself or will see them except my husband. Due to the pandemic, we won't be seeing family in person this year. While I did return everyone's gifts, that does exclude all my husband's. I usually get him quite a few, but I canceled about half of them. He still got 5 to 7. And I made sure I didn't get myself more than I got him to unwrap. What a journey, Rachel.
It really is. What are your initial thoughts on this one?
So, okay. When I first read this, I was like, go original poster, burn it all to the ground. You like hashtag girl boss, you're crushing it. Then when I read it a few more times as we were preparing for the show, I noticed a couple of things that I felt like were potentially like made me curious about their own relationship to both gift giving and gift receiving. Mm-hmm. I tend to think that like, if you feel that like every single person in your life is persecuting you in the exact same specific way, it makes me wonder if like, just, I want to understand more about that perceived persecution.
Yeah.
And also I think the way that they sort of frame themselves as a gift giver felt like almost like hyperbolic, you know, like I give people the best gifts and people comment about them year round and all this stuff, which is not to say that like, I guess I'm just pointing out that those on my like second and third read of the question made me raise my eyebrows a little. And so that led to like my main overall takeaway, which was kind of the takeaway I had when I initially read this, which is that it's important, I think, for people to like be aware of and realize that giving gifts is something that we do for ourselves as much as, if not sometimes more than for the recipient. And so I feel like it, for that reason, it's really important to be aware of like whether you and the person you're giving gifts to are like aligned. Mm-hmm. And like, I think giving gifts, like getting excited about giving gifts, like when you were talking about everything you did for your girlfriend, like it was adorable and great and delightful. And like, you got to experience all this joy from it. But when that is like one-sided, it just can feel really bad. And the poster talked about like, one of my favorite things was the shot of euphoria when they opened their present and were speechless. I mean, if you experience euphoria when people open your gifts, like it's probably worth your time to have a conversation with those people about the gifts they're giving you.
Absolutely. And like, not to be rude, but I think it's pretty hard to give that many great gifts that you're like leaving people speechless and floored and like, right. They're, you know, like you're doing such an awesome job all the time so consistently. Not because I think that no one's capable of it, but just more that like, I don't know that the recipients in our lives have such interesting needs ultimately. Like a lot of people just want really simple and straightforward things. And I think it can be really hard to do what this person is describing that consistently, that dramatically all the time. So I do think that like there are a lot of mismatches throughout this, but one of them might also be their own perception of the gifts that they're giving. I'm willing to believe like they give better gifts than they are receiving, totally. But I do think that they are like building these gifts up in their head as being so amazing. And it is so very clearly about them versus the recipient in a lot of ways, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but it is, like you said, really important to acknowledge that.
Totally. And like we talked about this in our last episode, but there are some people who just like don't care that much about giving and receiving gifts. And so it can be sort of, I think, awkward when someone who puts a lot of thought into gift giving gives you something amazing. And you're kind of a person who like shows your affection and love and thoughtfulness in like other ways, not in gifts, you know?
Right.
Like that misalignment is just really, really real. However, I will say I love that like faced with the situation of like having another really disappointing holiday season, this person was like, you know what? Like, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to return all this shit. I'm going to tell them I don't want to exchange gifts and I'm just going to get myself stuff I want. I think actually like a lot of bad gift vibes would be resolved if more people kind of blew it all up in that way.
I agree. I think the fact that the poster is willing to say like, to some degree, this is a me problem, so I'm not going to participate anymore, is great. Like, I think more people should do that. It sounds like that's not exactly how it came across. I know that the edit is saying, I didn't tell them why I didn't want to exchange gifts. They just figured it out, which makes me wonder what exactly has happened in past years, how exactly this came across, because I don't think that people would just assume that was the case if you had never communicated your disappointment to them. And it doesn't mean that you were wrong to communicate your disappointment to them, but I do feel like there's a little bit of something missing from this one. And the fact that your family is calling you a petulant brat for saying you simply don't have the budget for gifts this year makes me think that there's a little bit more that you're communicating to them that you maybe are not aware of or you're not admitting here. I don't know. I don't know what that thing is, but it does make me kind of wonder
totally
how they got there so quickly.
Yeah, no, I feel the same way. And I also think that, like, I do think that there are people who have sort of gift-related persecution complexes. Like, they just are feel like they're consistently, you know, being, like, not being seen. And, like, this person feels. And I feel like this is, like, a good, what they did, I feel like, is a really good kind of pulling the emergency brake kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's not a good, like, thoughtful long-term solution to what sounds like a pretty intense, like, mismatch.
Right.
But it's a good, like, make it stop right away thing. But of course, like, I think that also is obviously coming with, like, a goodly amount of fallout already.
Right. I agree. The other thing that I'm wondering about that gave me pause, like you said, if somebody has, I'm being persecuted by everyone in my life in the exact same way, that's sort of a question mark. I would have been more receptive to the person's complaint if it were their in-laws and their husband, because that tells me, like, oh, all these people are coming from the same family. So, like, they likely have similar gifting philosophies, or, like, the husband is aligned with his parents. So if he's sort of defending them and giving these shitty gifts, but the fact that it's the poster's parents and the husband is interesting, because it's like these are totally different units that seem to have the exact same belief, which is, like, giving people really shitty gifts is fine. And, like, to be fair, all the gifts they're describing don't sound great. Like, I think that, like, Office Secret Santa is a really good way of putting it. Those, like, headphones that are just, like, totally generic that they have, like, at the checkout line at Kohl's. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see how that would feel bad to get that from your parents and your husband. I think, like, separating the gifts you can expect from your parents and the gifts you can expect from your husband is probably a good idea. But, like, yeah, these all sound kind of shitty, but I'm also just like, it is interesting that both, or that everyone in this person's life, because they also mentioned their friends, like, exactly, everybody is getting you really terrible gifts. That is surprising to me. And so I have some questions.
Yeah, they're all getting gifts that are terrible in the exact same way.
Right.
You know, this is the kind of thing that, like, so I used to host a podcast called The Struggle Bus, and people would write in and ask us for advice. And this kind of reminds me of some of the letters that we would get where people would be like, here's the problem I'm having. I'm going to describe it. Can you help me? And as the people who weren't involved in the situation and were just reading the letter from a kind of outside objective standpoint, what the person identifies as the problem is actually just, like, a symptom of other things that are going on. And if, like, someone had written this into the Struggle Bus, the advice I would be giving is, like, there's other stuff going on here. It's not just about, like, you just have happened to make friends with all of these people who are objectively uncommonly bad gift givers in the exact same way, you know? Mm-hmm. So, like, you gotta like dig in a little bit there.
Yeah. The other question I have is, like, with the spouse, like, again, I'm like, that's where you should probably start working through this. Like, obviously the gifts you get from your parents are important, and it can be really contentious if you have siblings and they're getting different gifts and things like that. But I kind of just feel like when you're an adult, the gifts that your parents give you are, like, not the most important thing in the world. And that is probably based to some degree on my relationship with my family. But I'm just kind of like, I don't know, what can we really expect from our parents when we're adults in terms of Christmas or holiday gifts? So I don't know, that feels a little, that to me is not the main thing. But your spouse, like, there's who you should probably be starting with. And what is this person's values? Why did you, like, if you are this good at gift giving, if this is, like, how you, like, this is your high that you're chasing every year, every holiday, and you married somebody who gives you, like, garbage gifts from the office free table, like, that feels strange to me. And I'm just kind of like, how did you end up here? What did you think? Is this a change that they used to give you really good gifts and now they don't? Because we definitely read some questions like that on Reddit in the past couple months? Is it that they never cared and you overlooked it? Do they not care in other ways? Is this just not their thing? Like, it's very unclear what's going on with the spouse. And that's another one where I just want more information.
Yeah, absolutely. I want so much more information. I wish Am I the Asshole was more of like that the original poster was required to come back and like answer questions so that we could really get into it. There is a comment on this that I thought was interesting that I wanted to highlight, which is someone just talking about how they and their significant other started a tradition of establishing a Christmas budget where they get to spend a certain amount on themselves for whatever they want. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was like a cool, creative way to get around. I don't think it's a good way for the OP to get around their situation because they need to like be having courageous conversations like with their spouse and potentially also their parents and friends. But the thing of like being overwhelmed at Christmas with like how to exchange gifts with everyone and make them all feeling meaningful. And it reminded me of this thing that my friend Shane told me about that he does with his wife, which I thought was like extremely cute, which is that they exchange gifts at Christmas, but they also buy themselves a gift. So Shane buys himself a gift. His wife buys herself a gift. They wrap the gifts they got themselves. And then the surprise is, And then they sort of frame it as like, oh, this is what you got me, even though, mm-hmm. you know, like they got it for themselves. And so then, then they try to guess like what they got the other person. Mm. And I really liked this because like they started doing it because they have both of their birthdays, their anniversary, Christmas, and also a bunch of in-law birthdays, and also now their kid's birthday, basically all in during the holiday season. And so it's just a way of sort of like, it's like, I just feel like it's a guaranteed win. Like each of them are definitely mm-hmm. going to get a thing they want. And I feel like, you know, maybe this is actually a better thing for the first Am I the Asshole poster. Mm-hmm. I mean, they need to break up with their fiance, but when they're in their next relationship, they can try it. But I think it's like when your gift issues aren't so about your deeply broken relationship and they really are about solving the gift giving, mm-hmm. I think these kinds of strategies are really good because I think it's also like totally a legit thing that like some people put a lot of thought into it and a lot of effort into it and just like don't really hit the mark, but it's like not for lack of trying. It's not mm-hmm. for wanting to. And so I feel like not everyone has to be a sort of next level, transcendently, uniquely on point gift giver. There are ways to like kind of work with people's like limitations.
I agree. I think that strategies like this are great. I see them on Reddit or on like the comments of Lifehacker or on Twitter or wherever a lot. I think they only work when the relationship is in a good place and when you've had like the hard conversation about love languages and why you feel this way and like you come to an understanding. But if you haven't had that conversation or one person is feeling a little bit bullied into agreeing to go with a strategy like this, but they are really disappointed about it, like it's just going to lead to resentment in the long run and it's not going to work. So I think that I love when I hear these stories. I love hearing how people get creative, but I just feel like in the case of the original poster and maybe even this one, like, yeah, I think there's so much more going on here and like there's so much to address that it's not about the gifts by any means.
No, it's totally true. I think like that was I had that idea after I read it for the first time. And then like after a couple more times, I was like, ooh, this is going to go much deeper. So probably both of these posters should like think deeply about their relationships.
I think so too. I hope they're having a good day. Hope they have a good holiday.
Exciting time, Rachel. We're going to do our first ever mailbag segment.
I'm so excited. I'd love to get mail.
I know. I'm so psyched. As a reminder, you can email us at ohilikethatpod@gmail.com. And we definitely want to hear from you if you have like one sentence worth of things to say to us or several paragraphs, please write in. This first one, the subject line is finally a good giver. Hi, y'all. I just wanted to thank you for the gift guide episode. I am historically a terrible gift giver, which is amplified by the fact that my best friends are amazing gift givers. Christmas is my favorite time of year, but I get so stressed about gifts that it ruins the whole month. I've read gift guides, which are fun, but ultimately don't actually help me pick stuff for other people. I put on your podcast, and it was like whatever mental block I have around gift giving was lifted. I thought of ideas for everyone on my list, and I actually bought them on time instead of frantically wandering a Barnes & Noble at the last minute. Love the show and can't wait to see what the next episode holds.
That is lovely. I feel so warm inside after hearing that. And also, I feel like this person is kind of the family member of that second Reddit poster who like owns that they're not great at giving gifts, is trying their best, and it feels really self-conscious about it. So that just kind of warms my heart to hear it from the other side that, yeah, people recognize when they're not necessarily good at something and are trying to do better. And sometimes you just need a little help.
Yeah, 100%. And I think there's really something to the fact that like the entire winter gift exchange season can be so stressful that it really does just like turn off a switch in your brain where you're able to kind of think creatively and also be like organized in an administrative way, which I feel like is also a huge part of like a
gift part of it. Yeah. I agree completely. And especially this year when it was like we had to start shopping earlier and you have to think about how you're getting everything to people, it is very overwhelming.
Exactly.
Okay, I'll take the next one. Subject: gift guides. Hi, Rachel and Sally. Your latest episode on gift guides is great. It gave me some much-needed inspiration for coworkers and some neighborhood friends. One of my best gift ideas I came up with this year. Maybe it's well-known and I am late to the game, but here's the gift. I bought the Dishoom cookbook for my best friend who loves the restaurant and loves to cook. Since it's Indian food, I'm also going to buy her spices and other hard-to-find products listed in the ingredients section of the book. I'm not sure why I never thought of this before. Every cookbook has a pantry or ingredient section, and unless you're giving to an actual chef, the receiver probably does not have all of the staple ingredients. It ensures that the book can be used immediately. Another gift I love is a signed book. One year, a boyfriend of mine was able to get a personalized message and signature from both Angela Davis and Bell Hooks for me. Even better was that he was able to get Bell Hooks to sign my personal copy of Feminism is for Everybody that had all of my notes on it in it. It's still the best gift I have ever received, and while it may not be possible to track down the author for a personalized message, I still think a signed book is a lovely touch. Thanks for sharing your gifting process, and I look forward to more episodes. Happy holidays.
I definitely want to get into a Secret Santa group with this person.
Yeah, I think so too. So I have to say, one of the things I loved about this is that I got a bunch of different messages about the Dishoom cookbook, which I had put on my blog's gift guide, which my girlfriend had recommended because she went to the restaurant in London in January of this year and loved it, and then also discovered there was a cookbook this year. And so I kept hearing, like, I'm hearing people connect with this cookbook in different ways. So I just thought it was super interesting that this person also was excited about this cookbook this year. But I also thought that the pantry ingredient section idea was just genius. Like, such a good, I love a pairing of a food gift with something else, or like a way to use the thing immediately. And this is such a like clever and creative thing to do, to dress up a gift that like is already really thoughtful if the person loves this cookbook. But if it's a more standard cookbook, it's such a great way to like elevate it a tiny bit. And what a great idea. I love it.
I do too. I love it a lot. I love the idea of getting a signed book also. Mm-hmm. I think that's a really lovely thing. And I also think, you know, like I think books are like great gifts and they don't need any like additional like foofery to be awesome. But sometimes it, when you just sort of, I understand that it can sometimes feel like, I just gave them a book. Is it like a personal gift? Is it personal enough? Whatever. And like doing a thing like buying the ingredients or buying a signed book, I think is just like a nice little way to make the gift of a book just seem a little bit more special.
Yeah, I think it's so great. And so often you can get signed books through independent bookstores, which is another really lovely thing that you can support an independent bookstore this way.
Yes, totally. So this next one is really short. Subject line: nature apps. Re-identifying trees and plants. I wanted to share that the iNaturalist app is really easy to use and free. I believe that, actually, I don't remember what this is in reference to. Probably our like ways of coping.
Or maybe like early on our like fall talk. We did a lot of nature stuff early on. So there's a lot of possibilities here.
Yeah, there's a lot of possibilities. And I want to say, I actually do have this app and it's awesome. I have a couple apps like this where you can like take pictures of plants and flowers and it'll tell you what it actually is, which I remember like a few years ago tweeting something like Shazam, but for flowers, or Shazam, but for birds or something. And this actually like is that.
Yeah, I've tried finding the Shazam for birds and have not had a ton of luck, to be honest. But I also am a big fan of like the New York City Guide to Trees, which you can just, it's a book you can take with you to the park and it works. You can identify trees this way, but an app is also a nice way to go.
Yeah. A book is the paper version of an app, and paper apps are great, I think.
Yeah.
So great, great rack. Thank you for that. And then the next one is another rack.
Yep. We've got a candle rack. Hi, I love the pod. Was excited to hear you mention candles on the last episode because they make me feel cozy too. I recommend the brand PF Candle for yummy smelling candles that are decently priced, $20 to $40 for most, made from soy wax, and it's a small woman-owned business. And then they shared the link, which we can link to in our show notes.
Yes, we will include all of these links in the show notes. Rachel, are you familiar with PF Candle Company?
I don't own any. I think I've seen them before. The jar looks very familiar, but I've never purchased one before. But this is a great rack. I'll have to check them out more carefully next time.
Yeah, this is a great rack. I am always wary of scented candles without someone telling me specifically that they've tried them and like them, because
yeah,
fragrances can really go sideways, I feel like.
They can. I agree.
Okay, so this next one is subject line, another idea for coping. So this is in reference to a few episodes ago, just a bunch of ideas for coping. Thanks for the great podcast. I have another idea for coping, paint by numbers. It's another great activity to do with your hands. One of my favorite companies that offers these kits is Paint the Town by Numbers. This looks awesome. We'll include a link in the show notes. And this looks like the only possible way that I would be able to, or to be honest, would want to paint.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, it's like the grown-up version of Paint for Numbers. There's like really pretty, there's like one of succulents. There's like a Mr. Rogers one. There's like an Andy Warhol one, a Frida Kahlo one. Anyway, they look really cool. And I could totally see getting into this.
Yeah, it also seems like they are reminiscent of like the wine and painting classes that are popular, that this would be a cute thing to like send to your friends and do a Zoom, or get for you and your partner to do and have wine and like recreate that, since we're all about just recreating every possible real life experience that we used to have. This actually seems like it would lend itself all to that.
Oh my God, we're doing that. That's so fun.
Okay, I'm going to take the next one. Subject, loved the gifts episode. Hi, Sally and Rachel. I'm the girl whose husband went out and bought a bunch of apples and we started doing apple tastings. Was so excited to get a shout out in the episode. Just wanted to write in and say that I absolutely loved your latest episode. I devoured it and sent it to my fellow gift-giving loving friends. I felt like I learned a lot about gift giving, which I was not expecting, as I consider myself to be a gift giving pro. I could honestly listen to an entire additional episode about that, so you have at least one vote for it. I was excited to hear the Tonys mention. I love giving Tony's Chocolony bars as supplementary gifts and have gotten a lot of great feedback on that. Last year on Rachel's Rec, we also gave Mike's Hot Honey to a bunch of people and that went over great. We use it on savory waffles like cheddar chive, and I haven't seen too many people recommend that as a use for it, so I wanted to pass that along. I'm super excited about Malden sea salt as a gift. I use that in a lot of my cooking, but never thought about giving it as a gift. The box is so beautiful and luxe, so that's just a great recommendation. Anyways, I have two great recs for stocking stuffer grab bag gifts. Remix waffle mix. My husband included this in my stocking this year. Yes, we opened them up early, and I love it so much. It's a Black-owned small business, and the waffle mix is just absolutely delicious. Possibly the best mix I've tried. Second, just date syrup. This stuff is just really tasty and a good sub for honey or maple syrup. Love the pod, and I hope you like these recs. This is a great email. From top to bottom.
Mm-hmm.
I love the waffle mix recommendation. And also, if Mike's Hot Honey is good with waffles, that seems like a great pairing of putting these two together or putting them with the syrup. Both of these are great. I love that this person loves gifting so much and is so excited about it and is taking our recs and using them.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited. I feel like this person is like a real kindred spirit.
Mm-hmm.
That's just as into gifts that they are. Remix waffle mix looks amazing. I love that they have already opened their stockings. I am totally here for like policies around early gift giving. Like,
mm-hmm.
I'm not as into it when it's like, ah, let's just dig in and open it. But I'm mm-hmm. into it when it's like, we have a tradition where every year on December 8th, we open one Christmas present or whatever.
Yeah. Why not? It's very cute. I like this a lot.
Yeah, I like it a lot. I think we should also like, I mean, look, I'm just going to go out on a limb and say like sometime over the next few weeks, write in and tell us the best thing you've given or received this season. Mm-hmm. And like, we can talk about that because I want to hear. Yeah. I want to hear what everyone's giving and receiving.
Yeah. And I think Valentine's Day is right around the corner. Sorry to stress everybody out, but everyone's going to need more gift recs. So it's nice to hear little thoughtful things like this that actually make for a really nice gift, because I think stocking stuffers are a great idea for Valentine's Day gifts. That's my little life tip of the day.
Oh, that's a really good, that's like a great idea that I had not thought of. I forget that stocking stuffers is a thing you can search for actually year round.
Yeah, they don't actually have to go in a stocking. Yeah.
They actually, they disintegrate unless they're yep. inside a stocking. Okay, cool. Well, I mean, I think that does it for our mailbag. Please keep writing to us and telling us stuff and asking us stuff and recommending stuff, because I think we both love getting recommendations as much as we love giving them.
I would agree with that. Yeah.
So with that, why don't we talk about a nice thing to end on? Rachel, okay. You want to kick it off?
Yeah, I do. So my nice thing to end on is, I'm going to bring it back to the beginning of the episode with the party that we had yesterday for my girlfriend's birthday. I had put up this like sparkly background, like kind of like tinsel-y that goes like ceiling to floor mm-hmm. in gold and silver. I put it up on the doors and the windows. It looked great. And my girlfriend was like, I feel like I'm at a cool holiday party, like kind of kitschy. And somehow we landed on an office holiday party. And she was like, we should have an office holiday party for our work from home office situation.
That's so good.
So we're going to put them back up next week. We're going to have punch in my punch bowl. It's like a very like fancy vintage punch bowl. We're going to dress like we're going to an office holiday party. If anyone has ideas for how to really capture the feeling of being at an office holiday party, besides like dressing Chuck up like our boss in like a reindeer tie, I'd love to hear them. But I think we're going to do that on maybe on Tuesday night. And then Wednesday, we're going to do like our movie night / every surface a soft surface day, Christmas style. So we're going to put out the air mattress, cover everything with like big soft blankets, all the Christmas plaids, and watch Christmas movies all day.
Oh my God. You guys are like fucking iconic. I love this. I love the holiday party. And all I want to do now is think about ways that you guys can make your holiday party seem like an office holiday party.
Right. I was like, well, we have to like do our makeup in a conference room. So that's one thing. But I'm just trying to think of other things that are like, you know, office holiday party staples without getting, you know, too dark or annoying. So if you've got recs, if anyone has recs, hit me up, because we need some more ways to make it feel like fun and silly.
Yeah, totally. That sounds awesome. So Rachel, you might remember that I was recently texting you about typewriters.
Mm-hmm.
Because I received a letter from a friend and they totally wrote it on a typewriter, which mm-hmm. I was super impressed by. And I was like, this is so cool. Maybe I want a typewriter, because mm-hmm. that's sort of, if I see a shiny thing, I want the shiny thing. And so I was like telling you that like, I assumed that if I went to like Urban Outfitters website, I would just see some like hipster version of a typewriter that I could mm-hmm. get for like $100.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem to be the case. It seems like typewriters, you have to spend like many hundreds of dollars in mm-hmm. getting an actual like antique thing from eBay. And I'm not trying to have a new personality, right, which is like person who owns a typewriter. So yeah, I'm not going to do that. However, I happened to stumble upon an app called Hanks, which is H-A-N-X, which makes me think of like Spanx and Thinks and stuff like that.
I thought that's where this was going when I saw it in the doc. I was like, if this is shapewear for men, I swear to God, Sally.
Oh my God. I want it so badly to be that. that would be a dystopic thing to end on, a nice thing to end on. So this is actually like, I feel delighted to explain what this is to you, Rachel. And I purposely didn't put anything into the doc so I could tell you. So Tom Hanks, America's sweetheart.
Ah, okay.
Apparently loves typewriters.
I think I've heard this. Yeah.
Okay. So it was new to me, but like this is an app that he has developed, which basically you can use on your iPhone or your iPad. And basically it mimics the look, feel, and sound of typing on a typewriter from the typing noise to the carriage return. I believe that you can, it's free, but I think that if you pay, you can download like additional typewriters. I'm sure mm-hmm. like typewriter enthusiasts among us know that like different models make slightly different noises and stuff like that. So I just like, I used it. I wrote a friend a letter, and actually our editor Lucas was writing him a letter for a game that we're playing. And it's really easy. You just like write in the app and then you can save it and print it out, or you can email it it looks like a typewriter font.
Yeah.
It's not as charming as like an actual typewriter where like the ink is kind of uneven and stuff like that, mm-hmm. but it's pretty goddamn charming.
That's great.
Yeah. So, and this is all, this is not the result of me going looking for something to, you know, fill the typewriter shaped hole in my heart. This mm-hmm. was like totally coincidental. So I feel like the universe was really looking out for me. Mm-hmm. Hanks, H-A-N-X. Get into it. It's like fun and cute.
That is cute. You should use that to compose your annual end of year holiday letter to all your friends and family. And by annual, I mean, you should do that for the first time this year.
I was thinking that like, maybe that is just going to be a tradition that like, should just be re-co-opted. Like we should just like start
like
things
reclaim
again.
It. Mm-hmm.
Reclaim it and make it like really cool and fun. Although it's like possible that. Can it be cool and fun? Can those letters be cool and fun?
I mean, I think those letters get a bad rap. I think that like, I don't know. They're fine. I've received, well, like my family has received a couple. I don't know. My ex's parents sent one out that like I got a mention in a few, you know, probably one or two times. Don't know what happened at the end there, but that's who's to say. But I don't know. I think it's fine. Like if they're bad, that's also funny. Like
that's true. Yeah.
So
yeah.
I would love to receive one that is like cringy and embarrassing and like comes with a whole backstory and gossip. That sounds wonderful to me. So I think it's nice.
Yeah, no, it is. It's nice. I think though, if I did one, it would just be like, follow me on Twitter.
Yeah.
Because I don't know that.
What if you just send everybody like a printout of like your 12 favorite tweets of the year?
See, now that, now that's a great idea, Rachel.
Yeah, I'm going to perform a citizen's arrest if you do that. So.
I'm going to print them out and mail them around. That's amazing. All right. Well, I feel like we've come up with some really good ideas here. I feel like we do have something to take to Shark Tank, which is like some app that like compiles your best tweets and mails them in printed form, or some new social media channel where you anonymously share your family's annual letter, and then
I love that.
Yeah. So anyway, keep a lookout for our Kickstarter. All right. Well, I think we did it. I think that's the end of the episode.
It is. Thanks for listening to this episode of Oh, I Like That. Please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
And you can follow us on Twitter at Oh, I Like That Pod. And you can email us at ohilikethatpod@gmail.com.
You can also follow us on Twitter. I'm at @_REWM and Sally is at @SallyT.
Oh, I Like That is produced by Rachel and Sally and edited by Lucas. Amber Seeger, aka Rocket Orca on social media, designed our logo.